Okay, here we go. You're going to take your first quiz now. And up to this point, what I expect that you have done is that you have listened to the podcast on Chapter 1. And in addition to that, you have looked at the terms and you've made sure you understand what they all mean. If you haven't done that, then you may not fully understand each question as you read it. So definitely do that pre-work before you attempt to tackle the test. Also, listen to a few of the or watch a few of the videos so that you can deepen your understanding before you start the test. It's a really good thing to do. All right. So just 5 or 6 minutes here over the first few questions of the review quiz, just so I can give you an idea of how to think through them, and I'll give you the answers to these first few questions after I talk about them just a little bit. So the first question on the test says, according to this school of thought, the whole of personal experience is different from the sum of its parts. And you have four choices there, and you might think that the answer is functionalism, if you understand what structuralism and functionalism are, because functionalism is kind of a reaction to the structuralism people. And however, that is not really the answer. The answer is D, Gestalt theory. And if you look in your book and look up each question as it comes up, you'll see off to the right over there, there is a little additional part that says Wertheimer, and it actually says in that little addition there, the whole is different from the sum of its parts, and above it, Gestalt. So that's definitely going to be your answer. So don't jump to the first thing that comes to mind. Take the time to look up the question and make sure that each question is being answered properly. Okay, number two, are researchers allowed to deceive participants in their studies? Okay, so you know you've got to answer a question about ethics. So you thumb through the chapter and you remember reading something about ethics, and now you find that portion of the chapter that has something about ethics, and sure enough, it tells you something about whether or not participants can be deceived. You might think, if you don't look it up, that no, they can't. However, that's not true. If you read that section, you see that it is possible, it is permissible to allow researchers to deceive participants, as long as you do certain things. And those things are, before when the study is over, you have to reveal the goals and explain why the deception was necessary. And so again, the answer is D for number two. Number three says, beliefs, values, norms, rules, and customs that people learn from those who share a language or environment comprise. So we're looking for the definition of something. This is a pretty simple one, a straightforward question, and probably fairly rare that you'll get this straightforward a question. And if you check your book just to double check, it probably sounds to you like this is culture. And sure enough, it is. The answer is culture. But you might want to double check before you put that down as the answer and read the definition of culture, and it is exactly as the question states it. So that answer is D again. Look at number four. Excuse me. Charles Darwin and William James both understood the importance of something. So what is that thing? Well, just reading the question, you may or may not know what the answer is. And the first one might look pretty good to you. And so you sort of pitch your tent, with, let's say, around that one. And then the others don't look as good. But the first one is not the correct answer. If you know anything about Darwin and you read what was in your book, it's all about adaptive purposes of traits. and characteristics, his theory. And it just so happens that William James was thinking along the same lines, and your book tells you that. The two people are placed right side by side in the book, and the last paragraph or so of the William James section says that he was interested in adaptive purposes. Number five. So number five will be kind of a typical question that you'll have. It'll give you a situation and then ask you to say something about that situation or the person who's mentioned in that situation. So this one asks you, what is, at the last sentence of this question says, what is the problematic confound in this study? Well, you're going to have to know what a problematic confound is. And basically what that is something that can mess up this study, something that can make the results not real or not accurate. And so there's something about the way this is done, and they tell you what it is in the question. What is it that's done in this study that might make the results come out not correct? And the answer here is not A. It might be unfair to compare older adults to younger adults, and often you'll see a true statement in your answers, but it won't be necessarily the answer to the question. It's just a true statement. It's got nothing to do with the question. And operationally defined memory, well, he has operationally defined it. He is giving them a memory task, and he's defining memory as their performance on that task. So that's not the answer. And C, if memory turns out to be something that varies by time of day, well, it could. It very well could. And so that would be a problem if you measure these two groups at different times of the day, and he, in fact, is doing that. So C is going to be your answer. It could cause a problem. D, again, is a true statement, but not going to mess up this study because it's the very thing we are studying, or one of the things we're studying anyway. Okay, let's see. We're out here about 7 minutes, 7.5 minutes, so I'm going to stop and let you carry on with the rest of the test yourself, and I will talk to you later.